It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Danny Meringue.
I found two empty bottles of a particularly decent Chateau Noir Bordeaux 57 in your rubbish.
Dusty Hera.
You went through my garbage?
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
I find it particularly offensive that you use them to wash down an order from something called Macho Taco.
And Portland's sports leader, 1080.
I would never drink a Bordeaux with a Macho Taco.
The Fan.
It was a burrito machissimo.
Hour number three, Danny and Dusty on this Tuesday afternoon. Thank you for riding with us, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM, the fam, or the YouTube animals at youtube.com/1080AM, the fan. Thank you for partying with us on this glorious Tuesday. Danny, he's sick.
Yeah.
He's got the pukies going on.
That's no good.
No, it's not good. Yeah. Hopefully he's feeling better soon.
Yeah.
So thank you to Rufio, Joel, T Diz, Lazink. Lazink? YouTube party animals that are very active in the chat right now. Thanks for riding with us on this Tuesday and everybody else out there. Also, all our texters on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further. At Vancouver Ford, they treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at vancouverford.com. Everybody's talking about how bad the quarterback play was in the National Football League in week one. And boy, howdy, it was. Whether it was Deshaun Watson in his glorious 9.3 QBR.
Oh, you hate to see it.
You really do. And that article that we were talking about yesterday, Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, put out about the new sexual assault lawsuit against Deshaun Watson, starting to get a little bit more traction.
Yeah.
Of the Browns actually having a way out of his contract now.
Ooh.
And they are desperately searching for that. He literally is... Right now, the one person in the NFL that has the most job security.
Yeah.
The fact that they converted his salary this year into a signing bonus, it means that next year, like if they were just to get rid of him and just say, we're done.
Yeah.
We want out. They would have to pay like $99 million for him to go away. I think that's what Mike Lombardi said today. It's an absurd.
Well, how deep are we into his contract? Because it was two. It was. Damn it! Was it 230?
Yeah.
It was 100% guaranteed.
It's not good, Bob. It's not good. So whether it was his 9.3, Bryce Young looked about as bad as you can look at quarterback. For the Carolina Panthers, he had a sultry 10.5 QBR. 10.5. First throw of the game, pick. Second play of the second half, also pick. It was ugly. He looks broken. The Carolina Panthers are a horrible team. Daniel Jones looked awful. The rookie quarterbacks didn't look great. Kirk Cousins... All we need to say is Justin Fields won that game, and they kicked six field goals.
Yeah.
They didn't score an offensive touchdown, the Steelers, and they won. And it was like kind of comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, it was awful. Their offense looked archaic. It looked out of sync with this skill set that Kirk Cousins has. They didn't put him under center. They put him in the pistol. They put him in the gun. Atlanta just looked broken and weird. You had a lot of interceptions across the NFL. And then you had guys like Justin Herbert not throwing for a bunch of yards, but piling up a win, right? Quarterback play, it looked a lot different across the NFL in week one. And we're all looking for the reasons for that. I think on the defensive side of the ball, teams are doing, and we talked about this a lot after the Oregon-Idaho game, right? What was it that Idaho did? They said, we're going to cap the back end. We're going to keep everything in front of us. We're going to dare you to make 85-yard drives. And we don't think you can do it cleanly enough times to really get separation.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't.
Yeah.
You saw that in the NFLs. This is what teams are doing. We talk about air yards and guys pushing the ball down the field. When you cap the back end of the defense, it makes it incredibly hard to do that. And you have to have a solid pass rush to do that. What is the thing we've been saying over the last handful of years? Pass rushers in the NFL are as talented as they've ever been before.
Mm-hmm.
So you have defenses kind of feeding into that. And how do you beat guys that are pinning their ears back and going with two safeties parked in the back end? You run the football. And we saw a lot of teams run the football very effectively across the NFL. Will the pendulum swing? Yeah, it will. It'll come back. But right now, I think defenses are playing well. Quarterback play was down and down in a big way. But I thought there was a lot of great performances that we saw from quarterbacks. And just like think of the 10 best performances, right, of quarterbacks this week in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, I know he threw a pick. It was a pretty bad one, but there's the pocket was collapsing around him. He stepped up, threw an ill-advised throw across the middle. Roquan Smith, I think, is the one that picked it off in the middle of the field for Baltimore. Patrick Mahomes, still, he's number one. He made the plays with his arm. He made the plays with his legs, and he was that dude. Josh Allen, okay? He played out of his mind. I don't think he can play like that for a 17-game regular season because you cannot run the ball, take that many hits. He's already been cleared for Thursday night with that left-hand injury. That happened like right after our show got done, mm-hmm. where they said, nope, he's greenlit. He's good to go. Josh Allen played amazing against the Cardinals, and the Cardinals gave them
fits. And they needed every bit of it.
Yeah, they gave them fits. And it was a slow start for Josh Allen, though.
Yeah.
And then you had guys like Brock Purdy and Matthew Stafford played really well. I mean, both those guys just kind of playing within themselves. Matthew Stafford played a good enough game for his team to win. And, I mean, yeah, he was locking on Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, but he did last year with Puka Nacua, too.
Yes,
like he found
in the
his
absence
safety
of Cooper Kupp.
And they put some drives together. Tua threw for 330 yards. But with those weapons, those targets, yeah, 80-yarder to Tyreek Hill really helps that out.
Sure
they were
does.
Able to get those explosive plays. Lamar Jackson, it was a bit of a roller coaster at times, but he still played really well for them.
Yeah.
But
you can't maintain that kind of, 16 rushes?
Yeah. And I really like, though, you know, C.J. Stroud looked good. Mm-hmm. C.J. Stroud played within himself. They were in a dogfight. I thought that was a really good game in Indianapolis where Anthony Richardson played well himself.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't look nearly as ugly as the Cincinnati Bengals made it sound or look in their preseason inter-squad practices and their preseason game. But there were guys that really stood out to me that I don't think we were expecting to have the games in the days that they did
mm-hmm.
in week one. And one of them is a product of who they were playing. But Derek Carr was phenomenal. Derek Carr was phenomenal for the Saints. And he has these games. And just think of this. Derek Carr had one of the 10 best performances in week one in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Derek Carr had one of the...
That says a lot about the level of play league-wide, but Derek Carr has those games in him still, right? He was 19 of 23, 200 yards, 3 touchdowns. You're playing the Carolina Panthers. I get it. That franchise is an absolute joke.
Yeah.
They are a joke of a franchise right now. But Derek Carr and the Saints, they took advantage of every bit of the mistakes that Carolina gave them. Another guy that you look at, and I think that this one is probably more surprising than anybody this week, Sam Darnold was awesome for the Minnesota Vikings. He completed his first 12 passes. Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
I mean, there were people that thought he couldn't do that against air at times when he's with the Jets. Remember that I'm seeing ghosts thing, right?
Yeah.
A guy who is seeing ghosts and everybody was just like, oh, no, he's lost it. He doesn't have it. With, again, they were playing the Giants. Another joke of a team right now.
Yes.
Not a franchise joke, but their team is in disarray.
They're doo-doo.
And one thing that they do have, though, is a really good pass rush. Darnold made it a point. I'm going to get the ball out quick. I'm going to be efficient with it. And he was. 19 of 24 for the game, 208 yards, 2 touchdowns, did throw a pick. But Sam Darnold did enough to win that game and win other games in the NFL. Opponent be damned. Mm-hmm. Kevin O'Connell is a very good play caller. The weapons, Jordan Addison, he was iffy heading into that game. He was dinged up. He got the ball to his playmaker in his playmaker's hands, though. Whether it was Justin Jefferson or Jordan Addison, he was able to get the ball to playmaker's hands and did it quickly and efficiently. He had one of the 10 best performances of the week. Helps when you have Aaron Jones, who's running for, you know, nearly 100 yards.
Yeah.
But to have Sam Darnold have one of those 10 best performances, I don't think he's getting enough credit for how well he played for Minnesota in that game. And then the other one that just stuck out to me, because I had my question marks about it, and he was playing against a better team than, I don't know, the Giants or the Panthers. Baker Mayfield played like a top 10 quarterback in the NFL last year. He played like it in week one, too.
Mm-hmm.
And with Dave Canales out, an aging Mike Evans, you didn't know what you were going to get. He went up against a Dan Quinn defense this year, and he was slinging the rock all over. He had a top 3 performance this week in the NFL. And that, I love that about Baker Mayfield, man. So many people wrote him off.
Yeah.
He's now owning that, look, I was immature. I was kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, which we were all kind of saying that about him too.
Absolutely.
But he has owned that. He has grown. He has matured. And he's turned into a damn fine quarterback.
Yeah, good for him.
I mean, 24 of 30, 289, 4 touchdowns. Only sacked one time in that game.
That's a pretty solid day.
That is a really solid day. And hey, coming out of that too, Bucky Irving, former Oregon Duck, he may be RB1 in Tampa. I mean, he's splitting carries with Rashad White right now.
Mm-hmm.
9 carries, 62 yards for Bucky. And I think that we've talked a lot about how Oregon may be missing Bo Nix and Jackson Powers Johnson and the brain trust pre-snap and the efficiency with which those two guys played. Yeah, Bucky Irving was special too. Bucky Irving was a very special running back, and he is producing in the NFL.
Well, I remember last year, you know, watching the last couple of years, he was just darn near. It was a rarity for him to be brought down the first time he got touched.
Yep.
Yeah. He was the king of missed tackles.
Had a little bit of that Ashton Jeanty in him.
Yeah.
Short, squatty, strong,
mm-hmm.
and just elusive as all get out. Yeah, Bucky Irving played really well, but it was that game to me came down. Baker Mayfield played lights out,
mm-hmm.
and I love to see Baker playing well now because he wasn't, man. He is a redemption story.
And I used to talk a lot of smack about Baker Mayfield too, but you know I got no problem saying, hey, good for him. It's nice to see him putting it together.
Yep. But it was weird to see that with the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL this week. Think of the names that we didn't mention here, right? Guys like, you know, we said Justin Herbert only threw for 144 yards. Joe Burrow was MIA. It wasn't Aaron Rodgers. Well, Joe Burrow's targets were also MIA.
Yes.
It wasn't Aaron Rodgers, though. It was a lot of it. And guys that have always been on that fringe of like, just outside the top 10, but have really good weeks. And look, it is week one. This isn't going to be like the list of the 10 best quarterbacks for the entire season. But my goodness, those guys were special this week. And that was cool to see. There's also guys that put up gaudy numbers, but I don't think played well. I don't think Jalen Hurts played well.
Mm.
He threw for 278 yards, but you're like, you didn't hit 60% of your passes. You're clunky. A couple of picks that just didn't look right for you in Philly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work to be done in Philadelphia to shore up that offense, because right now it looks like they're going to lean on running the football behind Saquon Barkley.
And when you got
Devontae Smith and when you have A.J. Brown, you need to tighten that thing up through the air.
Yeah.
All right. 503-864-6326. That be the Vancouver Ford Texan. Let's revisit the poll that we put up today. The civil war between Oregon and Oregon State will mean more, less, or not change. Next on Danny Dusty.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, we put up a poll earlier with the Oregon and Oregon State game in different conferences. Civil War will mean more, mean less, or not change. Polling currently states it will mean less, 54%. It's kind of holding over the course of the show. 54% say it'll mean less, 35% saying not going to change, and then right around 11% saying it'll mean more, just like the SEC, just means more. A couple of the interesting comments that we've gotten on this one, though, and I really am. I'm interested to see how this rivalry feels on Saturday in Research Stadium. I think there's just going to be a lot of bad blood in the stadium, not necessarily on the field, because like the reality of it is, how many new pieces are on both sides of this game?
Yeah.
You know, like this is one of the things that the transfer portal is really good in a lot of ways for a lot of teams, but it also takes a hit where you don't learn the 4 years of hating somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And with the level of talent that we have here in the state of Oregon, not being usually the one that rounds out Division I rosters the way it was. I mean, on the podcast that I do with Cole Linehan, the program, we had Mike Jorgensen on this week, and we were talking about, you know, historically what this game has always meant. And he was like, you know, back when I played, like, most of us were all from the state of Oregon. There were guys that, you know, I played against in high school that were on my team at Oregon. Now, you know, there were guys I played with and against in high school that were on Oregon State team. And you had that familiarity and you had that knowledge of the rivalry growing up in the state of Oregon and being from here. And the game meant a ton. And it's not to say that it doesn't mean a ton now, but yeah, that is different. And for guys like, you know, Grant Stark for Oregon State, who played at Thurston High School and now is a Beaver, it obviously means a ton. Bryce Betcher, who's from South Eugene High School and now plays for the Ducks, those are the guys where it means a lot for. But they are so much, they're fewer and further between of having a lot of guys from the state of Oregon that grew up with this rivalry have been in the program for several years and have gotten that bad blood. And that then it becomes on, you know, your coaching staff in the athletic department of teaching the history of what this rivalry truly means and bringing guys in to kind of speak to the team over the course of the week. I think with Trent Bray, it's a pretty good guy that he can speak from his personal experience of how what this rivalry means, how much it means.
Yeah.
When you have, you know, on Oregon staff, you got guys like Ryan Walk, who are, you know, offensive analysts for the team, who've played in the rivalry, are from the state of Oregon, and have kind of grew up in it. Mike Kavanaugh, who's, you know, an assistant offensive line coach, who's coached on both sides of this rivalry, knows it inside and out. You lean on those people during these weeks to build up the rivalry for the guys that don't know. But for the fans, that's what I'm really interested in seeing on Saturday down at Reser, is how much this game really does still mean to people, because I think it's going to be hostile.
Yeah.
Hostile on both sides in Corvallis.
Yeah, and like I said, I think it, once we get a little bit further removed from this being the first one, and should the Beavs find a home somewhere else in the Big 12 or, you know, the ACC, if it still exists or what have you, I think you could see it pick back up to where it has been before.
Yeah.
But if they don't find a power conference home and they're stuck, you know, middling for a couple of years, or wind up in, say, the Mountain West, then I think you are going to see some of the juice dry up out of this rivalry.
Yeah, I tend to believe that. But this year,
maybe at least on one side. I think the Beavers, even if they do drop down, I think they'll still want to punch up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I think when you're talking about the if Oregon State does find a spot in the Power Four, right? I think the rivalry then amplifies and kicks up a notch.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, on one side, you know, Oregon State will be saying, "You guys left us for dead."
Mm-hmm.
You guys ran off to the Big Ten, and us and the Cougs, we were just sitting here with nothing.
Yeah.
And we had to climb back up and find her. Like, that's where rivalries get a little nasty.
Mm-hmm.
It's where the Oregon and Washington rivalry got nasty, is because UW was like, "Nah, the hell with those guys. Boom. We'll and this was like back in the early 1900s, right?
Yeah.
And it can give that little bit of a poke to make a rivalry that much better. Hell, we were doing that rivalry trophy bracket.
Yeah.
Where we were sitting there. You want to talk about finding ways to make a rivalry important? We had, like, Michigan's coach Fielding Yost believing Minnesota might poison their water. So they brought the little brown jug, which they play for now.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about leaving you for millions upon millions of dollars? Yeah, I think that's a pretty good reason to ratchet this thing up. But I agree, if you have Oregon State not able to find that home, and as separation in time, those millions upon millions of dollars in the gap of their funding and relevance on the stage that they play, I think it will take a shot.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody wants to see that. I don't think Oregon fans want to see that either.
No, I don't think so at all.
So we got some feedback. Orange O guy. It says, Civil War sold out seating at Reser. Right now, the only thing available is standing room only. So saying Oregon State fans don't care about the rivalry is definitely off the table, and F the Ducks. But that was one of the people commented, like, they don't know. There's a swath of Oregon State fans that don't really understand why Oregon State's even playing this game anymore.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that? Why would you play this game against a team that, you know, it took off to the Big Ten, said deuces, and let the Pac-12 melt.
Yeah. Well, for one, you had an entire schedule that you had to fill out.
Well, that is a very good point, Jeff. That's a very good point. But there are some fans, like I've heard Sprague say it, right? Like, he's not going to that game.
No.
He doesn't want to play. I wonder how many people are going to be like that. But I don't think that the people in... There's enough people that still care about it that Oregon State fans are going to sell out that building, and it's going to be rowdy.
Yeah. Well,
it's so fun.
We were comparing it to Washington and Washington State earlier, too, and you pointed out how there's still a lot of seats available at Lumen Field, and somebody pointed out in the old Vancouver text line earlier, right now I think the get-in price is like $100
Oof.
For that game, and moving on up. So that could be a part of it, you know? And it, I guess to me too, I also don't really like those quote unquote neutral site games like that. You know what I mean? Like, it was cool when the Beavs played it at Old Providence Park.
Yeah.
That was pretty kick-ass.
That was awesome.
Yeah. But, you know, then I realized maybe they tried to even it out because of the Washington State, they agreed to a three-game series, and it was one at Lumen and then one at Pullman and one at Husky Stadium.
Yep.
So I get it. You know, maybe they're trying to, air quotes, make that even by having the neutral site game, but... I don't know.
You're not buying it.
I'm not buying it.
Jeff Russ is not buying this.
That, and I guess it sounds like the price tag is too steep for anybody to want to go sit in a neutral site stadium.
He's calling shenanigans on it. Yeah. Last time Cougs played at Lumen Field, though, that gave us Popcorn Guy.
Oh,
remember the gif of the guy who's just sitting back and he looks hammered drunk and he just pours popcorn on his face,
yeah,
eating it. That was Cougs.
That was the Cougs.
It was Cougs at Lumen Field.
I guess that only makes sense now, doesn't it?
God bless them. love those Washington State fans.
Was it, is it the Bush Light?
Never met, yeah.
And Fireball?
Yeah. Yes. Both of those they love. Never met a Cougar don't like. Probably because of those two things you just said right there.
Bush Light and Fireball.
That's right, buddy. All right. Get the votes in. Keep the comments coming in on that poll. I think it'll be interesting to check this out tomorrow and then revisit it as time kind of passes. With Oregon and Oregon State in different conferences, the Civil War will mean more, mean less, not change. One person says, though, it means less because of the playoff. Regular season out-of-conference games mean less in the bigger picture. Style points and rankings are less important now.
Yeah, but I think you always want to whoop your rival's ass,
though. I think rivals supersede that.
Yeah.
Right? I think they do. Okay. We've got a couple of NFL notes that we need to get to here. We have a treasure, continues to be a treasure to all of us. And then we have the body cam footage from Tyreek Hill's arrest.
Ooh.
It was released. And now we have the citation was released. And it's even more baffling.
Oh, yikes.
Here's Rust with SportsCenter. I'm a big man. Boy, Diddy sure is real ruining this song.
Ooh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I might have to go make an edit to the old Rotator playlist here.
Yeah. I like Mace.
Yeah.
No Diddy, though. Oh, boy.
Oh, Nelly.
Body cam footage released of Tyreek Hill's arrest on Sunday. It happened yesterday afternoon after we got off the air. Boy, that isn't... When your parents told you two wrongs don't make a right, I think that this is what they were talking about here. I mean, Tyreek Hill was being a pain in the ass, but at the same time, a police officer's job is to understand that when you pull somebody over, they're probably going to be upset.
Yeah.
And de-escalate situations. And these cops... did nothing to de-escalate the situation. If anything, they escalated it.
Mm-hmm.
Yanking him out of the car, throwing him to the ground, arresting Clay, or putting Clayus Campbell in handcuffs, too. And he was like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Like, and what they were saying, the way they were acting, it was it was egregious.
Yeah. Even in one of the videos, when I only saw it because Rex Chapman retweeted it, 18 seconds into one of the videos, you can hear one of the cops say, that's Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, well, cop comes up and is like, you know who that is, right? And he's like, who? He's like, that's one of the Dolphins' best players. And the cop is like, oh, F.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that just because it's a Dolphins player, you should still be acting like that.
Right.
OF may be, hey, think we didn't handle this the right way.
Well, actually, the first thought should be, it shouldn't effing matter who it is. But unfortunately, this is the world we live in.
But, now the citation has been released. Jeff Darlington had this. Tyreek Hill was cited for speeding at, quote, a visual estimation of 60 miles an hour. So all of this, and guess what? Tyreek Hill isn't going to be paying for that fine on that ticket because your visual estimation can be crumpled up and thrown right into the garbage can in the corner of the room there.
Man.
Yeah, I think he's going about 60. And you know what I'm going to do? just because he's miffed and being an ass to me, I'm going to yank him out of the car, throw him on the ground, and arrest him. Yeah, not going well for them.
Was there anything in there about his seatbelt? Because I remember that being one of the things I heard.
He does have a seatbelt violation as well. Does have a seatbelt violation as well. So, wow. Didn't think we would see Tyreek Hill being a sympathetic figure anytime this season.
No. What's next, Joe Mixon?
I doubt it. Well, they actually tried that. With Joe Mixon after they played the Colts this weekend, they said, are you kind of upset that you don't play the Bengals this year? And he goes, no. They can we don't have to play. I don't want to play them. Something along the lines of we can just treat them like they treated me, which is just leave them out there.
Man.
Fine.
All right.
Don't want to see that.
Jeez.
Joe Mixon. Okay. But Tyreek Hill getting the, and these texters are saying he was doing over 100 miles per hour. Come on. Now, when are they going to learn? I heard he was over 100. No, the ticket literally says a visual estimation of 60 miles an hour in a 45.
Look, and if it, okay.
And again, Tyreek was being an ass to the cops.
I get it. Now,
he was not being totally okay, but most people that get pulled over are not totally okay, which I don't think is right either. But at the same time,
I think in a 45 mile an hour zone, though, you got to be a bit more sure than a visual estimation of 60.
Yeah.
If it's a 30 mile an hour zone, sure. Absolutely.
Doubling it up.
Then you can go with that visual estimation. But for 45,
Russ having none of this right now. None of
that.
Now.
They pulled that car over because of the visual estimation of 60, and because, what was that, a Lamborghini? I didn't get a real good look at the car.
I don't know cars like that.
It's some big fancy, you know, NFL superstar car.
Really nice.
That you and I aren't ever going to, you know, even combine for to try to buy together.
Yeah, right. I'm going to steal one.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Not a good look.
No, not a good
look. For anybody involved.
No.
But especially Miami-Dade County Police, because you're the trained professionals that should be de-escalating a situation, not ramping it up to the levels that it was, where it became a complete S show.
Yeah.
And, like, outside of, like, all of the ramifications that are going to come from the fallout, you're one block from Hard Rock Stadium, and you made a situation far worse from a traffic standpoint, too. So, also, you were there to control the traffic.
Yeah.
And because of the situation that they helped create there, it turned into a traffic situation, and so they were doubly not doing their job.
Yeah. Oh, man.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the happy stuff, because he was on TV for the first time last night, and boy, did he make his mark felt on the broadcast. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. I think Jason Kelce is going to be a great addition to Monday Night Countdown in the ESPN lineup. He made his debut on Monday Night Football last night, and he's lost some weight. I mean, he's slimming down.
Yeah.
Looking good.
He doesn't have to keep all beefy being a, you know, with the keeping up with the rest of the linemen.
An NFL center no longer. But there, it comes in waves, right? Your body, you shed that weight different areas, different times.
Absolutely.
And yesterday he was going through it because he had his suit jacket off and his buttons were popping off at the top, which led to the most Jason Kelce hold on to your seat moments.
My fits my belly now. I've lost a little bit of weight, but my tits are still struggling.
Struggling with his up tops right now. This is the content I'm going to be there for.
Yeah, right.
You know, the studio shows that are so dry, like I cannot watch the CBS Sports Sunday morning show. At least, like, I will turn on to Fox because I know that I'm going to get some personality out of Terry and Jimmy and Strahan and Howie.
Yeah.
Like, you know that you're going to get a little bit of personality in that.
Try getting that out of Phil Sims.
Like, no. But that's why I like Kelce on the Monday night. I think that's a good addition. I like what Amazon Prime does on Thursdays, too, with their gaggle of people that includes Ryan Fitzpatrick, because I think Fitzpatrick's funny.
Yeah.
He has some good stuff on there.
Absolutely.
It's not just his beard and unbuttoning like four buttons on his shirt. He is a...
Well, that it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, he's a character. And again, like we were talking about this with quarterbacks earlier, like to stick around in the league for as long as he did and get as many shots as he did, like people got... You got to have that gravitational pull for a locker room and for people. And Kelce obviously has that in spades. And he does that podcast with his brother. Did you see... Travis and Patrick Mahomes were at the U.S. Open tennis over the weekend?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my gosh. Travis has that mustache now, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was wearing like a Gucci bucket hat.
Gotcha.
And he was in Mahomes, who is wearing his... I don't know why Patrick Mahomes wears the Oakley Blade sunglasses.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a weird look for him.
Yeah.
But somebody posted on Twitter, they look like the idiot goons in a Jason Statham movie that he just comes in, beats up really quickly. You know, the guys that are supposed to be the muscle and supposed to take out Jason Statham, they actually look like that. Yeah. They look like the dum-dums that they send in that are just going to go and, like, muscle somebody out. That was so fitting because it was awful looks for both of them.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why the Gilligan hat is back. Do we know why the Gilligan hat's back? It wasn't a good look then. It's still not now.
Look, the only thing I can say is that it always goes in cycles, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, hell, the fanny pack came back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just for the...
Bell bottoms.
Sometimes it's just for the sole purpose of, one, throwing back, but two, just kind of looking goofy again. You know what I mean? I think that's... That's about the only rationale I can give for a lot of today's fashion choices is just to look off the wall and goofy again and be like, I'm being myself.
High fashion.
Yeah. This is how I represent myself. I'm being myself.
Do you say it like that?
Yeah.
Like you're Leon?
Leon Phelps.
Leon Phelps, the ladies man?
I'd like to buy you a fifth sandwich.
Ooh, with a lady. I haven't watched that movie in a while. Is that one that does it?
That is one that never really got into my wheelhouse.
I don't even think
I've ever seen that one all the way through.
I think I remember part of it being like Will Ferrell is in it as one of the bad guys, and he has the oiled up wrestling matches at his mansion. And I don't really remember the context of all of that, but I'm feeling like that's probably one that's not going to hold up. As well as it once did.
That could be a safe bet.
Like when Leon Phelps had to go on the straight and narrow and he had to do the religious show and they were talking about missionaries and he just couldn't hold it in anymore.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, I can only imagine.
What a great character.
Oh, yes. Tim Meadows is so underrated. So underrated.
Is he?
I think so. I don't think he gets the credit for
he was great on SNL.
Yeah, like that's what I mean.
As being like an SNL all-time great.
Yeah, that's what I mean is his role in SNL. I think Kenan Thompson finally surpassed him for longest running cast member.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's been on there forever.
I know, right?
But he's always played like the ancillary roles in a lot of movies, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Like when he was the principal in Mean Girls.
Fantastic role.
Awesome.
Yes.
He was Sam in Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
Okay. Another one I haven't seen. Never saw that one.
He was really good in that. But he's never like, as a leading man, even in like the bits that he did on SNL, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was good as a side character. And I think there's nothing wrong with that.
No, absolutely not. Yeah.
Not everybody has to be Snoop Dogg or Warren G. Sometimes you need a Nate Dogg.
Yeah.
Who was one of the best. He was one of the best, like, ancillary pieces to every song. And he was a producer, too.
Yeah.
Really good producer. But he was like he was just on the side. He was never like the guy that you came for.
Not everybody's a head coach. Sometimes you're just a great offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Be that offensive mind.
Yeah.
You know, be the mastermind there. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Carved himself quite a little niche.
Yeah. Okay, but that's why I think he's properly rated.
Think so? Okay, it's fair enough.
But when he's on, it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good stuff. He's really good.
A lot of those sketches in there, too, like they need... He was always good at being like the straight foil in those, in a lot of the SNL sketches.
Yeah, being like the Debbie Downer, the guy who would just kill all the fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's brilliant at that. All right. You got any more takes on underrated SNL characters, or you want
to
move on?
Jan Hooks. Jan Hooks was great.
Don't know.
That's like mid-late 80s days. You'd recognize her.
I do recognize her, but yeah,
she'd pair up with Nora Dunn.
I was not ready for a Jan
Hooks.
That
was one of the first names that popped into my head going back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably agree with this texter on the Vancouver Ford text line. Meadows probably made a good amount of money and doesn't have the hassle of being bothered as a super celebrity.
Yeah. He can probably go to the grocery store.
That'd be a great life.
Right?
Throw a hat on.
Yeah.
Go to the grocery store.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
No. Just go back to your mansion.
Yeah.
Doing cool stuff. Do you watch any of the Manning cast at all last night?
I did not, no.
They had Adam Sandler on.
Oh.
Who is the best friend of all time. And
Tim
Meadows also in Grown Ups.
See? There we go.
Those movies.
Yeah.
But it was right when Rogers like threw a pick, and he was like, "I don't want to be here." He's like, "We shouldn't have done this. This isn't good for me. You don't want me here. This isn't good for the Jets. I need to leave." And Eli, I don't think really quite got the joke.
Yeah,
and he's like, "What? You don't want to be here,
Dad?
Like, this is our fun with Adam Sandler."
Too funny.
But that's a guy that the reason why I brought him up is, though, that superstardom that is ridiculously hard for people.
Yes.
Adam Sandler handles that so well.
Yeah. He just embraces it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a guy who's probably been mobbed for now 30 years, probably.
Yeah.
Like when he goes out in public, you know, when was like Billy Madison came out? Probably like 95.
Late 90s. Yeah.
Like 95, 96. Probably. He's coming up on 30 years, man, of just being one of those superstar celebrities.
Yep.
That's crazy. And with the comedy albums and stuff, I mean, it's been a long time. That's nuts.
And he is the best celebrity best friend. Just ask Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
He's still allowing him to hang around.
Checks. Still, Rob Schneider's best work was in Necessary Roughness. As the play-by-play guy.
Oh, gotcha.
Fumbleina, Fumbleia, Fumbleruski, Fumbleumba Ding Dong. All right, that does it for us on this Tuesday. We'll be back Wednesday from noon to 3. Up next, 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's Prime Time with Isaac and Sook right here on The Fan.
Concrete jungle, wet dream tomato.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.